inflation, and the president. I'm David Brancaccio. Ahead of his meeting with Federal Reserve Chief Jerome Powell today, President Biden has published an op-ed piece in the Wall Street Journal about how he regards fighting inflation as his top economic priority. Part of this is Biden's pledge not to interfere with the Fed's campaign to raise interest rates, even if that crimps the job market. He thinks the deficit coming down will help, and he's pushing to take the edge off fuel prices by encouraging more clean energy tax credits. Let's check today's economic pulse by turning to Larry Adam, Chief Investment Officer at Raymond James. Morning.
Good morning to you. Thank you for having me.
So you clicked on your Wall Street Journal this morning. There's a message from the president about how he's going to fight inflation. Did you see significant content there for you?
No, I think the president's got a tough battle against inflation because a lot of the factors that are driving inflation are, for the most part, out of his control. I mean, when you think about it, what's driving inflation? It's food and energy. And what's driving that is war, droughts, and supply disruptions.
Now, Europe today posted a new record high for inflation, 8.1%, if you look at it as an annual rate in the eurozone, the highest since there's been a eurozone. In this country, what's your sense reading the data? Maybe inflation has peaked?
No, I think that inflation probably peaked last month. Right now, it's record inventory levels. I think a lot of that's going to cause some discounting through the summer, and that'll help put some downward pressure on inflation.
If we take some of our dollars and use it for travel and not buying boxes from Amazon, that might mean stuff piles up on the shelf. And when you got stuff on the shelf, maybe you'll offer a deal, and that could help inflation?
Yes. I think that's exactly what's happening. When you go to the mall right now, there's just plenty of inventory. You know, they're filled to the brim. I think you're going to start to see that those prices come down much more dramatically than you'll see the increases in the services that you're referring to.
Larry Adam, he's the Chief Investment Officer at the investment firm Raymond James. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
The median or typical price of a single-family home in the U.S. reached $397,000 last month, all-time high. Pandemic low mortgage rates are part of this, but fresh research finds over half the recent increases in home prices can be explained by two words, remote work. Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
Picture two roommates in a cramped apartment. Let's say that reserving Zoom time in the only bathroom isn't working out too well, so they split up.
There were two people happy with one apartment, and now two people each want one apartment. The total demand for housing for these two people has doubled.
Johannes Whelan teaches economics at UC San Diego. His research suggests remote work supercharged apartment rents last year, and the desire to Zoom in peace has increased for-sale home prices 15%.
The dollar value of a square foot of housing has gone up because we want that extra space now to do our work at home.
Economist Jeff Tucker at Zillow says remote work will keep changing the housing market.
Now, as more people are seeing this turn out to be a permanent arrangement, they're taking that information and incorporating it into a home purchase decision.
Zillow predicts housing prices will rise through 2023. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
We also know that despite the high rates central bankers want, the average 30-year fixed mortgage rate has been ticking back down slightly in recent weeks. That's in the Marketplace Morning Report podcast if you miss it on the air.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
A total EU oil embargo was blocked by Hungary, which is especially dependent on Russian oil. Still, with the new deal, EU officials say imports will be cut by 90% by the end of the year, the BBC's Jessica Parker reports from Brussels.
Expectations of a breakthrough ebbed and flowed yesterday. Then overnight, it was confirmed that oil imports from Russia by sea would be banned. However, Hungary, which had argued its economy couldn't cope with an embargo, will retain access to its branch of the key Druzhba pipeline that also supplies Slovakia and the Czech Republic. But the European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen said that taken with German and Polish commitments to phase out all Russian oil by the end of this year, the boycott would hit 90% of imports.
It is a big step forward. Now we have basically the political agreement how to phase out oil, which is the basis to be able over time to completely diversify away from Russian fossil fuels.
It's not clear how long the exemption will last, but it's a win for the Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orbán, a man who has been known to have relatively warm relations with President Putin. Another of Mr. Orbán's demands that Hungary might still access Russian oil in other ways if something happened to the pipeline also appears to have been met. The plans now need to be signed off by ambassadors in order to be formally adopted.
Jessica Parker, BBC there. If the Supreme Court does indeed end the right to abortion in the U.S. this coming month, it'll change much in the states set to ban abortions, especially for black women in many southern states. In Tennessee, black people have abortions at four times the rate of white people. Blake Farmer of WPLN in Nashville reports abortion access also plays a role in economic choices as well.
Things were not going great for Tia Freeman in college. She'd already lost her scholarship at the University of Tennessee. She joined the Air Force, finished training as an analyst, and got pregnant after her contraceptive failed.
Like, I'm at the bottom of the military rank system. I barely have enough to support me, let alone in my head to support a child as well.
And even at 20, Freeman knew that as a black woman, longstanding inequities and racism were going to make her climb up the economic ladder more difficult. Plus, both her parents worked. Daycare would have eaten most of her paycheck.
I knew this wasn't going to be the kind of lifestyle that I would want to provide for a family.
In Tennessee, black women accounted for half of the nearly 9,000 abortions in 2019. In Alabama, they made up two-thirds. In Mississippi, three-quarters. And black women in the South also have more stacked against them to get an abortion, assuming Roe v. Wade is overturned. Civil rights activist Reverend Vanita Lewis spoke at a rally in Nashville the day after the Supreme Court's draft opinion was leaked.
We do not have the money to get on a plane and go to Chicago or New York to have an abortion.
Lewis says the result for those who can't afford to leave may be more self-induced abortions or giving birth, which is more dangerous for black women. They're three times more likely than white women to die from complications related to childbirth. Dr. Digna Forbes leads the School of Medicine at Meharry Medical College.
Either, you know, the means of getting an abortion is not going to be safe, or you carry the baby to term. Now you have the economic burden of raising a child that you cannot afford.
That's an experience Tia Freeman has had, too. She's bisexual and never saw herself as a mother. But a few years after her abortion, she became pregnant again.
I found out so late in my pregnancy that that was my reality now.
Freeman worked it out. Her grandmother, recently widowed, moved in with her to take care of her son, who's now four.
I love hanging out with my kid and doing things for my kid and providing for my child.
But after her son was born, she became pregnant again after another contraception failure, and she decided to have a second abortion.
Because I understood that I had the emotional capacity for one. I had the financial capacity for one.
She says that second abortion gives her the economic freedom to support her son. She's using her military benefits to go back to college next year. In Nashville, I'm Blake Farmer for Marketplace.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.